Blog Talk Radio.
LiveDeliverance.com, here on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. So if you would, go ahead and get some paper and a pen, and you can take down some notes, questions, or comments, because at the end of the ministry tonight, we'll give you an opportunity to ask those questions, give those comments, so that we can all be edified together. The Bible says that iron sharpens iron. So then that says that there is no iron that is too dull to be sharpened or an iron that is too sharp to sharpen others. Iron sharpens iron. That's our purpose. Why we are here is to simply give you information that is inspired, because inspiration and information equals a destination. So that's what we want to do, is we want to give you an opportunity to simply grow and show the grace of God in your life day by day. So if you would, please join your hearts with me in a word of prayer as we get into the ministry for today. Father, we just thank you and we bless you. I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. That the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me, so that I can now decrease, allowing you to increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirits and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, we're going to, today, the topic would be the pursuit of faith. We're going to dig into this for a while because I find that as I ask people the question, what is faith to you, a lot of times they will give me one word definition, maybe even a sentence, And, you know, faith is a belief, and faith is trust, and faith is waiting on the Lord with the right attitude of heart. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And all of those answers are correct, but they are also sometimes not enough. Because as we go through the things that are scriptural, the things that are Bible-based, we see some things that should allow us to grow, okay? We're supposed to get to the place where the faith of God displayed in our lives meets every need, causes witness to be given. I asked God, you know, well, what is faith? And he said, faith is the language and exchange currency of the kingdom of heaven given to man. Faith is also a support structure, a stance, or position. Faith is your starting point, and it is your finish line. Faith is the container and conveyor of hope, both in the collective or individually. I mean, we see these things over and over in Scripture, but sometimes we don't connect the dots. Since God is multifaceted, everything that is a part of him is also multifaceted. The one definition approach to faith cannot give us the full understanding. So without the full understanding, we probably become potential failures, those that are robbed of the power that was necessary for victory. I was talking yesterday when I opened up this ministry for the first public time that there are people I know that have been believing God for something to happen over and over and over again for an extended period of time. So that if, in fact, we are connected to faith as we should be, should it take an extended period of time for that manifestation? Does he not say that he hastens his word to perform it? That means he's in a hurry to get it done. Okay, yes, his time frame is different than our time frames because he stands outside of time and controls time. But the thing that I find would be an accelerant to the time that I'm looking at, it would be obedience. He said in Isaiah chapter 1, 18 and 19, he said, if you are willing and obedient, it'll be dinner time. Then you shall eat the good of the land. He didn't say if you're willing and obedient, you'll just smell the aromas from the land. He said, you'll eat. And so I'm needing to eat in my life. And the reason why I'm needing to eat is because that's where my sustenance comes from. That's where my energy comes from. See, if I'm waiting for something to happen for an extended period of time, what generally goes on is I get fatigued, I get frustrated. See? And so then I'll start doing things on my own, calling it faith. Well, I know I was guilty of this tons and tons and tons of times. Because I didn't hear the scripture that says, they that wait on the Lord, they shall renew strength. So fatigue just got it resolved, didn't it? Mm-hmm. And then you'll see how that would frustrate the devil because he tried to make you do something that's illegal, immoral. Okay? Because we'll say that we're believing God for the money to do this, that, or the other. And then we'll go and write one of those by faith checks. See, knowing that the money is not in the bank. So then that's not a by faith check. That is a lie. That is thievery. See, so then how am I doing this by faith then? I wrote the check by faith. No, you wrote the check in error. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. So you were participating in robbery, and then you wonder why your blessing doesn't come. You just gave the devil the ammunition and the road to stop your blessing from flowing. Because the Bible tells us that don't even have an understanding that a thief, you should know that there's no robber or no thief that shall have any inheritance in the kingdom of heaven. See? So since the devil knows the word, and he does, the Bible says in the book of James, the devil knows that there is one God, and they tremble. See? So they were living there. Remember this? The devils were the one-third of the angels that wanted to follow Satan, and God kicked them out of heaven. Because they have been kicked out of heaven, they know the way heaven works. And so then they come and try to torment you to make you think that it's not going to work for you. So then you go and do flesh things. Things that, okay, the Bible says this way in the book of Proverbs, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end are the ways of destruction. See, we've got to grow up past our foolishness and presumption and start walking, living in faith. And Jesus said that real clear. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He said you should live there. That should be my dwelling place, my abode, if you would. That I don't go and visit another place. If I live here, I get my supply from here. I don't go visit another place to get my supply. If I visit another place, go ye therefore into all the world and make disciples. If I visit another place, I should go there by assignment. I should not be going to do things that were not ordained for me. There are steps that are preordained that I should walk in. And I would gather that the ways that seemeth right is not where I should be walking in. Because the ways that seemeth right, then it says, those ways are destruction. They lead to the wrong thing. See, it would be easy for us to understand that faith takes us to a designated place. So then if I'm being led by something other than faith, I will not end up in the place of victory. I will sometimes have motion and activity, but motion and activity does not guarantee destination. I'll say it again. Motion and activity does not guarantee destination. There was an axiom that we hear that says that you climb the ladder of success only to find out that you are climbing the ladder on the wrong wall. You had activity, you had motion, but you were out of place. See? Remember, the blessings of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow. That means that when you get to destination, there will not be sorrow, guilt. See? Because you've done, come on, I know I have. I've done things that after I did them, I knew I should not have done them. But because they were done, I was saying stuff like, God knows my heart. Yeah, he knew your heart from Jump Street. He tried to show you your heart, that your heart was wicked and desperately wicked above all things. He tried to get you to understand that. But what would we do? We would just go and excuse the things that we did. And sometimes in that excuse, we would then accuse God. I only did that, Lord, because you, see there? I didn't hear nothing from you. I didn't understand what you were saying. Well, just because you, all right, let's try it this way. If you don't understand something that was said, are you the dummy or the one that was speaking? Amen. When God speaks, he wasn't the dummy here. You were. You become dull of hearing, in one place the Bible said. You have a hard heart, another place the Bible said. So those are not the things that he wants for you, but you put them in play. okay? That shouldn't be how we live. We should not live being tossed to and fro, okay? So when we understand the pursuit of faith, how it's supposed to function in our life, again, faith is a language and the exchange currency of the kingdom of heaven. So then, as I'm functioning in faith, it's just like, equal to, the same as going to the bank that you made deposits in. It's the exchange currency. As you go to the bank that you made deposits in, you can then make payments to someone that is expecting you to execute a promise. And if you want to execute a promise without going to the bank, they have what they call checks, which are promissory notes. But if you haven't made deposits, then you're not going to get out of that bank what the people are expecting from you. It's going to be NFS, insufficient funds. See, and I'm trying to give you information that would stop the NFS of your life. Because you will deposit into faith and withdraw out of the faith that God has given to every man, and you will be able to satisfy whatever the need in front of you is. It's the language and exchange currency of the kingdom. And he put language first, and I didn't even get language when I heard that. I didn't get that at first. Because language is very simply defined as communication through words, actions, attitudes, beliefs, emotions, and participation. See? Language is communication through multiple areas. Again, I said God is multifaceted. See? It is through communication through words and actions. You know, was it 75, maybe 80% of language is nonverbal? Someone stop talking to you with words, but their silence is hollering and screaming at you, isn't it? Yeah. See? So with that being said, then we have to begin to understand accurately what God is saying to us. How he's getting us to the place where we can write the check because the deposits have been made. If I know the money's there, okay, there have been times that, you know, you make the deposit and you track in the deposit by hour because you don't want to have a bounce check fee. So you're monitoring it by hours. Then there were times that I didn't care what a bill came across the desk. There was always the money in the bank. See, I want to have that feeling, the one that I don't have to question and say, "Ooh, I hope I got." No. There was a deposit already made. I spend time in the Word, spend time in His presence, spend time in prayer. All of them, which are causing deposits to be made to my account. See? So then I don't have to worry about that. Okay? So language is the communication through words, actions, attitudes. See, if you believe this, because we say that faith is a belief, and I get that structure, but if I have the right belief, I'm not going to have an attitude, Emma. I'm not going to have a negative attitude. I might have an attitude. It must be a good one. Okay, that's all right. But I won't have a negative attitude, will I? See, faith is supposed to cover everything in your life. Otherwise, Jesus would not have said that you're supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Did you connect that? See? What God has spoken is my supply. What God has promised, he will provide. See? It stops me from being tossed to and fro. I can stay on my path. I can stay on course. I can learn to grow. And as I learn to grow, woo, Father, that's good. As I learn to grow, my problems get smaller. Did you see that? Ooh, Father, thank you. Didn't he tell us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? That's good, sir. Wow. I mean, that's just good. I wasn't thinking about that, but there it is in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He says, I need for you to be dressed from the position. Ooh, turn over there. That's just good. That's just really good. Wow. Wow. Starting at verse 10. See, faith gives you the understanding that these things that you're coming against, you have the ability to win because the faith that he's already spoken to you, giving you as a promise, giving you as an entrance, these things will cause you to be able to win. Wow. Because I said that we're supposed to grow up, right? So he says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Did he ask you to be strong in your own might? Did he ask you to be strong in yesterday's might? He asked you to be, commanded you, told you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and then get dressed. Did you get that? If you're not strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, don't try to put on the whole armor of God. Amen. Remember David? Okay, come on, we'll just use David. He's there. Remember David when Saul tried to give him his armor? It didn't fit, did it? Yeah, and David got it on, and he looked at it and he said, no, I can't fight in this. I have not proved this. Okay? So then he says to be strong. Finally, my brethren, be strong. He did not say, finally, my brethren, go get strong, did he? I mean, the words that he speaks, if we would follow them accurately, then we would begin to understand that this is what I'm supposed to do. If I haven't done it, go get that done, then do this. Things are supposed to be done in God decently and in order. Is that correct? Well, if you've not done the exercise, why are you trying to run the race? Come on, somebody answer me. Come on. If you have not done the exercise, why are you trying to run the race? Before you run the marathon, there are exercises, trainings that should take place. Is that correct? So then, if you haven't done the exercise, why run the race if you expect to win? Now, again, if you're just trying to get motion, then go ahead and run the race. But I guarantee you that when the marathon was scheduled to happen, they expected the people in the marathon to have already been trained and exercised. See? If not, they have people to help you along the way. Ambulances and stuff like that there, because you're going to be a casualty of the process. See, you can start out and know that you've done the things that are required of you. So then because I've done the things that are required, I know the result, don't I? According to the scripture, he who has begun a good work in you, he will complete it. That means a completed work is a work that I get a passing grade on. Is that correct? If I go to school and I don't have a completed work, I get an F or an incomplete, one of the two. I get a failing grade or an opportunity to go back and do it again. But if I've done the work, then I will get a satisfactory grade. Come on, y'all. It might not be an A. I ain't even mad about you if it's not an A. But it should not be an F. It should not be an incomplete. See? If you get a C, that means you did walk in the path that was set before you. Sometimes you walk without understanding, that's okay. You can get strength along the way. Because I'm one of those helpers of your faith. That's what Paul said. He's a helper of my faith. In other words, he saw that I got a C, and he says, I'm going to help you. I'm going to show you a more excellent way. See? And he's going to keep on giving me information, inspiration, and understanding by the Spirit of God, and I will come to the place where victory is guaranteed in my life. This is the pursuit of faith. See, I don't give up, cave in, and quit because I think this was a C. I grow in faith. I grow up in him in all things. They finally, my brethren, put on the whole armor of God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then when you do that, now you can put on the whole armor of God. And when you are strong in the Lord and in the power, come on. I mean, just look at the steps, the way it's delineated right here. So then let's just try this. If I find myself as a weak Christian, then my first job is to become strong in the Lord. Again, you can pray. You can build just, this is chapter in the book of Jude, verse 21. It says, beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself in the love of God. Do you see what he's saying right there? He's saying, I know you're going to do great things. I'm the one that gave you the ability to do them. So go and become strong. And how do you become strong? One way is to stay in the Word, study the Word. Look at that. Keep your finger right there. We're coming right back to it. See? I mean, these are steps, real easy steps that we should use so that we can enjoy the thing that God says. 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2. We want to know, how do we do this, Lord? How can we win? 1 Timothy. I'm sorry. 2 Timothy 2:15. What does it say there? It says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Did it say study to show yourself approved unto man? No, it didn't. See, he wants you to grow up in him. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay? And he says that when you do this to show yourself approved unto God, when pride's not involved, when sincerity is involved between you and God, this is communication. This is the language of faith. Because he said faith was a language. This is my communication to God. Study to show yourself approved. And he says, when you do this, you will then be approved unto God. When you do this, you will then be a what? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Because you rightly divide the word of truth. He says, you will become someone that is effective, a workman. A workman is one that has a responsibility and executes the responsibility with excellence. Because this person who works the responsibility with excellence shall not be ashamed. He will be one that is rightly dividing the word of truth. So that's one way. How do we grow up? I just gave you point number one. You study to show yourself approved. If you haven't done the study, again, to show yourself approved, why are you trying to run the race? If you don't do the exercise, don't try to finish the marathon. See? Just don't. Then I quoted the scripture in Titus, so just flip on over there to Titus. I'm sorry. I said Jude. I said Jude. Okay. Verse 20 and following. It says, but ye, beloved, Build yourselves up. Okay. I'm going to read it as it is because I don't want to put nothing in there, but I'm going to come to the point. It says, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. He says, but you who are beloved, continue the process of building. Build and build and build and build. Building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And as you're praying, don't pray from the positions of upset, frustrated, begging and pleading. He said, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God. As the love of God is, the love of God never fails. Is that correct? He never gives up. It never runs out. He says, if you understand you are beloved, so that if you don't think you beloved, you will not build yourself up on your most holy faith. You will not pray in the Holy Ghost. You will not keep yourself in the love of God. You will not be one that's expecting mercy to work, because it's the mercy of the Lord that keeps us from being consumed. I am the Lord thy God. I change not. Therefore, you're not consumed. So then that tells me that I cannot fail. I cannot be to the point where I'm overtaken, because I keep myself in the love of God. I spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. See? I pray in other tongues. Paul said, more than you all. He didn't say more than one or two of you. He said, more than you all. So then when I don't understand, when I don't see, I go and pray in the Holy Ghost, because then the eyes of my understanding will be enlightened. See? And then I'll end up in a place where the victory is seen. That which is seen can be easily walked out. That's why I said, if it's not personal, it's not going to be possible. But if it is personal, it will be possible. Praying in the Holy Ghost, my vision, my understanding becomes enlightened. The entrance of his word, it gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Then I'll go, okay, that's what I do. Okay, that's the order in which I will do it. Thank you, sir. Then I go do that. And as I do that, I'm walking out the steps of the faith I've now pursued. I have been one that communicates not only through my words and begging and pleading, if you would, but I communicate through my action, my attitude, keeping myself in the love of God. My emotions now are coming into check by the Holy Script. My participation now becomes seen. See? I already know where I'm going to end up. Why? Because I participate at this level. And as I participate at this level, my expectation goes to a place where I know that if I pray, if I ask anything according to his will, I know that he hears me. And if I know that he hears me, I know I have the petitions that I desire of him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You can go back to chapter 6 in Ephesians. Then I can put on the whole armor of God. He says that as I do that, I'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See? I don't have to, okay. He said I'll be able to stand, didn't he? Okay. As I'm standing, I'm not actively moving forward in battle, am I? I'm trusting in the Lord because I know the battle's not mine. The battle is the Lord. I'm standing in the place where victory is going to be given to me. Is that not what it says? He gives us the victory. Blessed be the Lord. That always causes us to triumph. He gives us the victory. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. Said he gives it to us. My job is to simply resist the devil, and he will flee. When I'm standing, when I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, the devil then will see. He doesn't know who's got that armor on. Let's go that way, y'all. The last time he saw this armor, he got the snot beat out of it. See? Because Jesus led captivity captive. And then he paraded him around hell and made the devil say, Jesus is Lord. See, the last time he saw this armor, it didn't say, put on the whole armor of you. It says, be strong in the Lord and put on the whole armor of God. See, if I haven't done the exercise, if I don't understand what the armor is, I cannot put it on, can I? I cannot display it, can I? See? So the first step was to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. To then dress correctly, put on the whole armor. And he says, when I have these things working, he says, then I'll be able to do what? Stand against the wiles of the devil, the deceits of the devil. For you've already understood with the mind that's correct. He said, you've already understood that you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So then I should never have on this armor and try to fight against flesh and blood. Did you see that? He said, if you're going to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, then you're going to be able to put on the whole armor and you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil trying to make you think that flesh and blood is your problem. You say, no, if I'm strong in the Lord, I'll know that I'm not fighting against flesh and blood. So then I cannot make this a black and white thing then, can I? If I'm strong in the Lord. If I'm not strong in the Lord, I might spend more of my time trying to fight black or trying to fight white. Amen. That would be a person that has succumbed to a wile of the devil. Amen. I'm buffeting the air, the Bible says. I'm not executing nothing that's going to win. I'm just busy swinging at something, swinging at an enemy that I don't even know I can't see. I made the enemy a brother. I made the enemy a sister. I made the enemy someone that I'm looking at. And that's not who my enemy is. I've got to begin to understand that, walk in that. If I am strong in the Lord, if I'm growing up in him, if I'm pursuing faith as my path to victory. See? Faith is a language, an exchange system, an exchange currency in the kingdom of heaven. See? It's my starting point and my finish line. When I'm beating about the air, my hope is no longer alive. I'm down to what you would call my last straw. I'm doing anything now. So I would be dressed correctly, knowing that I'm not fighting against flesh and blood, but I'm fighting against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Because I understand this, he says now, I'm going to say it again, take unto you the whole armor of God. Whenever God says something twice, you need to pay attention to it. You need to pay attention to it. If he says it twice, you need to pay attention. Okay? And he says, Take unto you. Did he just make it personal? Yeah. So then if I'm taking the whole armor of God just so that I can get it, and I'm taking it unto me, do I need to go get my girlfriend to tell me what's all wrong? Girl, let me tell you, I don't need to have that conversation, do I? Man, let me tell you what they're doing. I don't need to have that conversation. He said, if I'm going to take the whole armor of God, I need to take it unto me. I don't need counsel now. I need to get dressed right. I need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. So once I do that, he says, then I will do what? Be able to stand against in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore. I mean, he's really wanting you to stand, doesn't he? He doesn't want you beat up on your knees, crawling on your belly. He wants you to be upright. Because if you are upright, those that are upright, God says, I will not withhold anything from those that walk uprightly. Okay? I ain't got to be groveling in the sand. Okay? I can take the whole armor of God. And with that being dressed correctly, I can now stand. I can withstand and be done, having done all to stand. So then if I haven't done all to stand, I probably won't stand, will I? So then that tells me that faith is not alive. It's not in action. I've given up on faith. I'm going to try something else. Then he said, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And the only truth is from the word of God. I don't need experiential knowledge. I need settled knowledge. For thy word is forever settled in the heavens. I need settled knowledge. I need knowledge that's going to give me a revelation about what's coming at me. Mm-hmm. See, the way God fights is he tells you what the enemy is setting up and gives you the way to get out of it. You can see that in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. He told them, tomorrow, go to the Valley of Ziz. Tomorrow. So that means he's already taking care of your problem. It can't get there till when? Tomorrow. You're still going to be here when? Tomorrow. He tells you to get up and go to the fight when he has already won the fight for you. Tomorrow, you'll see them. And they'll be at the Valley of Ziz. And he says, but you shall not need to fight in this battle. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord your God with you. See? Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Hear from God on what he wants you to do. Told them, you will not need to fight. I got this. So he's setting us up for victory. He has never and will never set you up for failure. If a failure happens, according to Joshua, you didn't do what he said in verses 1 through, chapter 1, verse 8 through probably about 10. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Then you shall observe to do all that is written therein. For you're going to start from there. You're going to start from the first part. He's going to say in chapter 1, starting at verse 1, go through 10. God, that's what he said. Because he said, I'll never fail you. I'll never forsake you. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. See, he does not set you up for failure. But he says the requirement is study to show yourself approved. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. See? So when you study to hear what God is saying, not just what God has said, study to hear what God is saying, okay? Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Stand, having your loins girt about with truth. So that in order to get this victory, I'm going to have to do what it says in John chapter 8. If I continue in the word, then am I disciplined as a disciple. And I will be intimate with the truth, and the truth will do what? Fight for me. The truth shall make you free. Having your loins girt about with truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. See, he wants you to grow up. All of that came to the out of the aspect of growing up. If I'm not walking in those things that he just laid out in chapter 6, then I'm not going to be able to win. I don't have the right mindset. I don't have the right position of heart. My breastplate is not on correctly. My shoes, he said the gospel of peace. He didn't say the gospel of revenge. See, if I'm not dressed right, then the devil's going to know that's not God in that armor. I mean, this is how the conversation, the language of faith. It's not just your words. It is also your actions and your attitudes, your beliefs, your emotions, and your participation. See, when I'm functioning in faith, then I don't participate in lies. See, I don't participate in doubt. You can't have both of them. There's no fountain that has good water and bad. See? There's no tree that has good fruit and bad fruit. I mean, I know we think that. We think we can do some bad, just a little bad, a little white lie. Jesus said, make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree evil and its fruit evil. By your words are you justified. By your words are you condemned. See? Because your words and your actions are connected. Your attitude and your actions are connected. Your beliefs and your emotions are connected. Your participation in that which is against God is connected to your belief, your actions, and your attitude. This is known as communication, or the language of. I just want to uncouple your thinking from the one definition, one word definition of faith. The Bible teaches us that faith speaks. It has a voice. In the beginning, God said, let there be, and there was. Faith spoke, manifestation happened. Jesus said in John chapter 28, you can turn there, finally made it back to my outline here. That was all my introduction, if you would. Because we've got to get to the place where we understand the language of faith so that we can activate the exchange currency. This faith that he's given you is so accurate and so quick that when you say it, you get it. You remember that? That's what he said. And we're going to go to John. Let's go to Mark chapter 11 so you can just see it. Mark chapter 11. See, this faith that he's given you, when you become proficient at it, when you become proficient at the communication of it, Jesus didn't say those things just because he wanted them to see it and he bragged about it. He was showing us the lifestyle of faith, the communication of the language. My actions line up with my position of heart, my attitudes, my emotions. See, if I'm doing this for pride's sake, because I said to the mountain, be thou removed. No. That's not what this is about. This is a language that is worked into you around your life structure. Let's look at Mark chapter 11. Watch this. In verse 11. And Jesus entering into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked around about all the things, and he knew that it was now eventide, and he went to Bethany with the 12. I want you to notice what happened here. Jesus was going, he was checking out what the people just said. Hosanna, blessed is he that come in the name of the Lord. And Jesus went into Jerusalem where this parade was happening, and he said he looked around about all things. He was checking stuff out, wasn't he? Okay? And he was kind of disappointed because this was the place that they had begun to, wow, so much teaching here. They had begun to put their trust in themselves and not in the Lord. And he was looking around checking this out. He said, these people say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, but they about to be the ones that's going to kill me. So how is that possible? He's looking around at all these things. And then he entered into Jerusalem in the temple. And when he was coming, he went out unto Bethany with the 12, verse 12. And on tomorrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing, because this tree, that's what I wanted to tell you about, this represents the tree of good and evil and the tree of knowledge. Okay? They were growing figs here because they were saying that the knowledge in the place of in the temple was what they needed. No, they needed the tree of life, not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So Jesus is coming to restore all of these things. Okay? This was the, look at it, he's going to say, and Jesus seeing a what kind of tree? Fig tree. That was the instrument that Adam used to hide his nakedness after sin. They grabbed a fig and sewed them to fig leaf and sewed them together. And so Jesus is coming back to undo all of the thinking that got Adam in trouble. He's restoring all things. Okay? And sometimes we read it, but we didn't get the what was symbolic here. What was God saying? Why did he do that? Why a fig tree? And if you do the study, you'll learn that that's what they were saying. This is the seat of authority right here. Jerusalem, the place where the fig was. Okay, you can see that. Jesus seeing a fig tree from afar off, having leaves thereon, he came happily if he might find anything thereon. He came to find what? If it was anything there. Anything for the appetite that would satisfy. And he found nothing but leaves. There were no figs there because the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, talk to the tree, talk to the foundation, talk to the principle. He said, he notices that he answered. Where is the question then if he answered? See? There were conversations happening in the spirit, and Jesus answered and said, this is over. No man eat fruit of the hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. See, he was not just trying to speak words that were not important and going to have impact in my life, but Jesus spoke to the origin of it. And he said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And when they were come to Jerusalem with Jesus, went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple. Why? Because he went the day before, he looked around and saw all of this stuff happening. How people were trusting in other methods of trying to get to God rather than doing what God said to them to do, to have a heart that is contrite, because he told them, you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. But here they come into these places and they trying to pimp the what they explain to be the presence of God. Here, y'all can do this and it'll be okay. Here's this pigeon and it'll be okay. And Jesus came in and he began to cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and would not suffer any man to carry out a vessel through the temple. And he taught and he said these things as he taught them. He said, is it not written? How did you get here in emotions and actions like this when it was written? Is it not written that my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and they sought how they might destroy him. But they feared the people because they were astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree that thou cursedest is withered away. And Jesus answering what Peter said and said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. He wants us to get to the place where our faith is immediate, not years and delayed. Because when he spoke to the tree, his disciples heard him curse the tree. Then he came back in the morning, and then it dried up. It didn't say, and things were not looking good. It said it had dried up from the root. Come on. It has withered away. It wasn't in the process of failing. It had done what? It had withered away. See? So when we get to the place where we are pursuing faith, then we should have the expectation that what we say, according to what Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, have faith in God. For truly, verily, I say unto you, that whatever whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, because of this, so that you make sure you get it right, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Then he tells you the principle about forgiveness. See? Are you pursuing that kind of faith in your communication through your words, your actions, your attitudes, your beliefs, your emotions, and participation? Are you doing that? Because faith has a language. God saying one thing and you saying another, but you're saying you believe in God. I don't know how that works. Jesus said that you can speak faith, have the faith of God. Then he said the way you activate it is by saying and believing, having a heart that can believe. If you are frustrated, you can't believe. Come on, y'all. A man that believes has corresponding action. So then if you are saying, man, I don't know why I'm going through this, then you haven't believed yet. You have an idea that God wants to do something, but you haven't believed yet. See? We got to get to the point where these things are incongruent action, attitude, emotions, participation. This is known as communication, the language of faith. John chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. Turn there. And Jesus said to them, when you have lifted the Son of Man up, you shall know that I am he, and I do nothing of myself. This is the part we want to get to. But as the Father hath taught me these things. Nothing else come out of Jesus' mouth. As the Father hath taught me, that's what I speak. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things which please him. See? I don't say other stuff that, I don't say stuff like, it's not working. I don't say that. Did the Father teach you it's not working? Because Jesus said, what the Father taught me, that's what I speak. So I begin to ask questions in my heart. Am I only doing what God taught me, or am I doing what experientially life has taught me? Well, you know, you never know what God is going to do. That's not what he taught me. See? Well, this is the way it happened for my brother and them. Okay, that's not what the Father has taught me. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. Only be thou courageous. Be thou very courageous. See? They were not doing what God taught them. They were doing what experience has said. God says that life is in the blood. Okay, life is in the blood. So then if I'm having issues in my life, I need to check what blood I'm living by. Say it that way, Stephen. Okay? If I'm living by the blood that I was born with, I didn't understand that when I got born again, I got a blood transfusion. Amen. I got a blood transfusion. I was no longer the one that was bought by works. I was bought by the blood of the Lamb. I was redeemed by that. So now I live because my life is in the blood. Amen. See, so then when I'm having issues, I just go back and remember, Lord, you know what? I am a blood-bought saint of God. So one drop of the blood causes things to be turned around, causes healing. So I just go ahead and receive my healing. See? This is what he wants us to do. I only say what my Father taught me. I speak these things. I speak life. I don't speak death. Did I not tell you that I'm coming that you might have life and have it more abundantly? So then why are you speaking? If you're going to follow me, if you're going to get to the destination that I've laid before you, then I'm showing you what I walked by. I walked by the word. I only spoke what he taught me. Then he goes to chapter 8, verse 32. And he says to them that if you continue in my word, we've said it all the time, if you continue in my word, then are you disciplined, my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's Jesus speaking faith. See? But I don't know if I have that faith. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Says, for I say, through the grace given to me, that to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself, but to think soberly. Why? As according God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we can't say I don't have the faith. Because he's dealt it to who? Every man. See? You shouldn't think the wrong way. Chapter 4 of Romans, verse 17. This is the testimony of Abraham that just follows him. God needs us to know this procedure of pursuing faith. Oh, Abraham jacked up the thing, left, right, and sideways. But he was still pursuing it. David messed up above all, but he kept pursuing it. He was a man that was after God's heart. This is what it says in chapter 4 of the book of Romans, starting in verse 17. And it is written, I've made thee the father of many nations. Before him whom he believed God, he did what? He believed God, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. Speaks faith. Who against hope believes in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. See, I only say those things that the Father taught me. And then so shall I see thee. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded. He had to do what? He had to be fully persuaded. He kept pursuing faith. Because he was not fully persuaded when he created Ishmael, but that was the process of continuing the pursuit of faith. See? And then as he continued in the pursuit of faith, he was able to then get to the place where the love of God got him to victory day in, day out. See? We got to keep walking this thing out. Being fully persuaded what he had promised that he had, what he had promised, he was the circle of those two he's, and being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was able to perform. Did he say anywhere in here that he needed Abraham's help? That's what Abraham offered the first time with Ishmael. There is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof, the way is the destruction. See? So he got to the place where he said, no. If this is going to happen in my life, God's got to be the one to do it. How do I cause that to happen in my life? I grow up in him. I become strong in him. I build myself up on my most holy faith. I've studied to show myself approved. And then those things that have been spoken over my life without my knowledge, prior to me even getting here, glory to God, predestined steps. Isn't that what he said? So then there are words that have been spoken over my life before I got here. And now I'll begin to hear those conversations. And then I'll say what the Father has taught me only. Then I'll be able to do those things. It won't be something that I draw back from saying, well, nah, I can't do that. Yes, I can. It was already decreed over me. Amen. He has had conversations about you with your great-grandmother. Amen. Well, come on now, y'all. This is how good God is and how wise God good is. He made conversations, had conversations about you with your great-grandmama, not even before your granddaddy and your great-granddaddy and your father decided who they was going to marry. You didn't see that. He already knew three generations who was going to be there. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then he said, it is already written, I made thee the father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth dead things, caused things that be not as though they were. So your mama didn't like your daddy at first, but God spoke to that dead thing. Next thing you know, your grandmama loves your granddaddy. Your mama loves your daddy. You came on out of here. See? He's already predestined your steps. Well, did he give me choice? Yes. That didn't mean the steps are not predestined. Amen. And then when you, on the way, he would change his mercies every day. He had new mercies so that he can get you to the place you're supposed to be. See? Help you understand that this is not the way. This is the way. Walk in it. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, because understanding that I was not the one trying to get this to happen, it was all God, then God imputed that to him for righteousness. And not for his, written for his sake alone, but also for our sake, did he have that imputed to him. Faith has a voice, has a language. Chapter 10 in Romans. Chapter 10 in Romans. Verse 6 and 7. It says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh. There's a voice. There's a voice to it. And it says things that are interesting. It says, say not in your heart the wrong thing. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend unto heaven? That is to bring Christ down from the from above. And he says, or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what saith it? But what saith it? It's speaking, isn't it? What does it say? It says, the word is nigh you, even in your mouth. And that is the word of faith which we preach. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the scripture has said, whosoever shall believe on him shall not be ashamed. So whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. What are you saying? That the voice of faith, the language that faith is the language that faith brings to God, and God can then move. Communication through words, actions, attitudes, belief, emotions, and participation. You want God to do the spectacular? Go back to the simple and do what it said. Because every word of God in heaven, every word of God is spectacular when it is believed. Go back to the beginning and believe. As you have believed, so be it unto you. Miracles all over the place. Dead people coming back to life. Because as you have believed, so be it unto you. Did I not tell you that I am the resurrection? Do you believe this? I'm the resurrection and the life. So then I say, because I know who I am, Lazarus, come here. He told him, Lazarus came out of the grave. My God, come on. Lazarus came out of the grave blindfolded. Yeah. Because he was buried and they wrapped him. Lazarus came out of the grave by faith. Amen. Okay, all right. You say that maybe we can see that. That's John chapter 11, I believe. Oh, Father. John chapter 11. And let's just see what you got. Starting at verse 40. Then Jesus said unto he's speaking to Mary. Martha was all upset, and he told Mary that if you knew that I was the one that was the resurrection of life, you'd be all good. And so Martha was trying to believe, but she didn't believe. Why didn't Martha believe? Because Martha was not the one that sat at the feet of Jesus so that she can hear what the Father said. And when she heard what the Father said, that she could speak. Mary, he said, did I not say unto you, you should believe you see the glory of God? And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was. And Jesus lifted his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you hear me. I know that you always hear me because the people, I want you to show yourself strong, that said that they believe, but I want you to show them how to believe. Then when he said that, he spoke with a loud voice, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he, verse 44, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Lazarus came forth blind, couldn't see. Tell me, how do you get out of the grave? How do you walk out of the place? How do you stand up to walk out of the place blind? But because the resurrection said it, faith then moved. I'm sorry. I don't know how it happened, but here's what it said. He said Lazarus came forth. It did not say Lazarus walked, did it? Amen. You do remember Philip, who was translated. It didn't say Philip flew. It said he was translated. In other words, he was not thinking about going where he just went, but the command was go. Lazarus, come forth. So then, okay, going back here, it said he came forth and he was bound. Help me, help me, help me. He was bound hand and foot. So then how could he walk out? Somebody help me. See? He walked, he did not have to walk out. He came forth. Glory to God. And then Jesus said, now, that I didn't need your help. I want you to verify what happened. So now you go, you bind him. Answer the questions in your heart. How did he get here? How could he see? We see him, but how could he see? He said, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. What saith it? It speaketh on this wise. Don't say in your heart, who shall ascend to heaven? Who shall bring Christ down? Don't say in your heart, who shall descend and bring him up? But what does it say? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That's the word of faith that we preach. Whew. See? Language has to be understood in order for it to work. See? Language has to be understood in order for it to work. A baby comes here and you start speaking all funny and goofy to the baby, but then you, as time goes by, you put that stupid stuff away and you give him that which is going to cause him to be able to do what's necessary. Language had to be learned. Faith was given to you, but language must be learned to be effective. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 11. That come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and do what? Learn of me. Study to show yourself approved. Learn of me. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Language has to be learned, see, but it is a language of faith. Hebrews chapter 11. I'll start here and probably have to go back and get into this again. See, we're learning that there is a language of faith, and everything that God made obeys that language. That's why you can speak to the mountain and the mountain will get up and go. It says about another thing. It says you could speak to a sycamore tree and the sycamore tree would pluck itself up by the roots. Because everything that God made, he made with this language of faith. See? So then when you begin to understand that, process that, believe that, walk in that, obey that, the principles of that, you begin to then release the language that everything that was made speaks. Verse 1 of chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. A lot of people stop right there, but please don't practice that, because there was no punctuation in the original text. They put that in there for our study purposes. Now evidence, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, what? By faith, the elders obtained a good report. Put a star right here. I want you to know that the good report is probably the first thing that you get in the faith world. You get the good report first, then you get the manifestation. He's teaching us, is that correct? So then we know that the teacher is the one that gives the report. He didn't say by faith the angels, elders obtained a good testimony. He says they first obtained a good report. Then they can give testimony because the report is in them. Who have believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord, arm of the Lord revealed? See? He asked that back in Isaiah, chapter 53, talking about your healing. Now, who has believed the report? If you believe the report, then you can have the healing. Amen. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand. Stop, put a, underline that right there. Because if I'm going to live by faith, I'm going to have to understand by faith. Is that correct? So through faith, we understand. Through faith, the process of the language that God has given us, through this faith, we understand. And the first thing that he started to give us, that this is how it's always worked. We understand through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. We understand that through faith. He takes us all the way back to the beginning. Worlds that you have not even seen yet, he said they were all framed by the word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. He made them through faith, and we understand this process works, and it brought things from hidden positions to that which is seen. But the worlds were framed by the word, so that the things that are seen were made by things that do not appear. It's not you see it, you believe it. The faith teaches us that I don't have to see it to believe it. I believe it to see it. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his. To speak about the report that he begins to testify. I mean, we can go in and just simply talk to God, ask God about the things that he's doing, and then God's going to say, I've already given you this. I am now testifying to that. He not only does he prophesy, he testifies. Come on. Not only does he testify, he verifies. Amen. He testifies, prophesies, and verifies. Testifies. I'm writing that down myself. We've got to allow God to get involved in this. God spoke and said, I'm happy with the boy. I have respect unto his offering. And so here's what happened in that, that it's so awesome when God testifies, even though Cain is dead, the Bible says he's yet speaking. Abel's sacrifice is it's just so much in that. See, the blood testifies too. The blood speaks. Because as soon as Cain killed his brother, God came and said, oh, what have you done? I ain't did nothing. Yeah, you did. Your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. So the blood testifies, prophesies, and verifies. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death. And he was not found because God translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. I only say those things that the Father's taught me. I always do those things which please him. Because we find Enoch with the same testimony. God's talking about it. So what have you done in your life? What do you do in your life that causes God to have a conversation? That gives God the opportunity to testify. And it says that by faith, he was moved, translated. If I'm translated, I was definitely moved. Is that correct? See? So he had this witness that God moved him. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a reward. He is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See? Faith moves us from one dimension to another, from the unseen into the seen, from that which is perfect to that which is imperfect, from that which is already complete to that which is incomplete. He's trying to transfer you. Faith speaks from hope into possession. Faith speaks from hope into possession. Because remember that faith is a language and exchange currency of the kingdom of heaven that's given to man. Faith is a support structure and stance and position. Faith is your starting line and finish, your starting point and finish line. Faith is the container and the conveyor of hope, both in the collective and individually. Faith speaks from hope and into possession. The elders first obtained the good report, and then the good report caused them to be able to speak years later. Faith will cause us to understand that then we can frame our worlds by his word. Worlds can be framed by the word of God. Your world can be framed by the word of God. You want to enjoy good? Your world can be framed by the word of God. Faith speaks to God so that God can then speak on our behalf. Faith doesn't move God. Faith moves us. He was translated. See, faith puts us in the secret place. As Psalms 91 says, the secret place of surely. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say, you start talking different. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee. See? When faith pleases God, then he brings the reward. And the reward can be a suddenly moment. But the reward doesn't come to people that just know where he is. They come to the person that seek him. Faith comes to where God is, not where we want him to be. In chapter 11, verse 9, it says that by faith, Abraham sojourned in the land of promise. He walked around in it by faith. His motion was not just something his motion was not just something connected to what he wanted. He sojourned. He didn't even know what he wanted. in the land of promise. See? And he learned how to be in a strange country, dwelling in strange places, talking to his sons about it. And they were looking for a city which had foundations that the builder was the maker, and the maker and the builder was God. Because faith is understood, we move looking for that same foundation that God builds on, the place where he abides. But I'd like to remind you, just as faith is the language of the kingdom of heaven, fear is the language and exchange currency of the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of question, the kingdom of doubt, and the kingdom of unbelief. Fear is that currency. Job in chapter 3, verse 25 shows us that. He says, "For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come to me." See, Job had constant communication with his fears. He feared that his children were not going to do the right thing. So the Bible says that he gave offerings. Why? Because he thought his children wouldn't make heaven. Let's look at Job chapter 1, verse 5. Watch this. "And it was so that when the days of feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, his children. He rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of all of them. For Job said, it might be that my son have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually." Every morning, early in the morning, he would go and say, "Boy, I don't know, my children might have messed up." And then the thing that he greatly feared came upon him. See? I mean, we got to get to the place where we stop functioning like this. If the language that we want to live by is faith, then we're going to have to stop speaking the language of fear. And we're going to have to stop speaking the language of fear in our words, actions, attitudes, beliefs, emotions, and participation. And the man didn't say the thing which I fear. He said the thing that I greatly fear. He heard it. He thought it. He nursed it. He birthed it. Even in the midst of a celebration, when there was the end of the days of fasting, of feasting, I'm saying. He said, in the middle of a celebration, Job was still scared and fearful. We've got to stop this. He possessed it, he authorized it, and he released it. Even though it was unwanted, he was speaking the language of fear. And what he feared greatly came upon him. Proverbs 18:20 says, "A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love whichever one they love shall eat the fruit of it." It's some simple choices here that we have to make. We just have to allow God to do what he wants to do, because we communicate, have conversation in the language of faith. What would you do? Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we thank you and we bless you for your word that you sent to us to heal us and deliver us. Thank you that you are awakening us to your ways, to your thoughts, that we will be those that speak the language of faith, pursue faith, not for things, but for the power to bring answers to bear in our lives. Knowing that you're not a man that you should lie and the son of man that you should have to repent. You said it, you'll make it good. You spoke it, you'll bring it to pass. Thank you that we can see that taking place in our life because we pursue faith each and every day, each and every second of the day, so we can stop presumption and live by faith. We commit it to you now, it's done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, again, we want you to ask questions and make comments. So I'm going to give the mic, area code 404-490-7875. You have your hand up. 404-490-7875. Any questions or comments about the ministry tonight? Go ahead.
Yes, you taught me a lot about faith.
Excuse me?
You taught me that faith is a, I learned that faith is a language. I do not understand that,
yeah.
But you taught me that faith is a language.
Yeah. And we got to get good at it, and we have to learn the language.
Yeah. Let me go back and start basically from the beginning to learn the language of faith a little better, and then I'll be a better person.
Uh-huh.
And a better person in Christ.
It'll profit you. Yeah, it'll profit you. The Bible says it'll profit you with all. See? And he wants us to do that. Even though, you know, we might be someone that has been connected to God, but we were trying to abuse or misuse faith. We were trying to make it again, and most of the time people try to make it for things. And it was not meant for things. It was meant to please God. Okay? And then when God is pleased, things are automatic. Didn't he? Jesus said that to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then things will be added unto you.
Yeah.
I don't have to search for the things. Yeah. See? It's just a matter of what we have misappropriated in the kingdom of God. You have the right to declare and decree, and he's going to execute what you declare and decree according to what you believe. But we just believe that I can get better at this, blah, 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 do this better. And no, get God. He'll make your, he will cause blessings to come upon you, and they will overtake you. I mean, he says it over and over in multiple ways. If we were simply tired, he will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. There's no room to receive it. See, he wants to do that. So then if this type of faith is not alive, we need to pursue it so that we can find it and then release it. So, amen. Thank you for being a part of the ministry today and getting the revelations that you did. So now I'll give the mic to area code 678-237-8496. 678-237-8496. You have the mic. Go ahead. Any questions or comments? Go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to say thank you for sharing that it was faith as a language, and I just thought it was a blessing to just learn that we use our language to activate our currency, and so just truly a blessing to hear.
Amen. And again, thank you for being on the call. That's what we're here for, to help us all get to the place where Jesus can be pleased, because the Bible says when Jesus comes back, he's going to ask a question, will he find faith on the earth? And so I my job and responsibility is to stir up the faith that's already on the inside of you. See, I'm not making deposits. I'm simply stirring up the waters that are already in you to cause them to flow. Because when those waters flow in your life accurately, then you will be the one that is fully supplied. Nothing missing, nothing broken. See, that will be the place of peace. So, amen. Glad that you were on the call. Looks like everybody else dropped off. But if the Lord has blessed you through this ministry, and then you hear the prompting of sowing a seed, that would be the faith that has a language now that has grown, because the communication through your words, actions, attitudes, beliefs, and emotions and participation are now active. So you can go to the website at livedeliverance.com, and you can find the donate tab, and you can just give and be obedient to the Lord, because we stay on the air through the free will gifts and offerings of those that have partaken. And Paul says, if I've given unto you spiritual things, then you should render that from your natural things. Give the offering, because it's not it's not without cost that we are here. And you can help defray those costs through prayers, gifts, and offerings. Okay? So, again, we just thank you for being here. So until the next time that we can come together, we will probably dig into this just a little bit more. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. Y'all be blessed in Jesus' name.